Broadcasting live from the 2018 Religious Education Conference in Anaheim, California. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, that's the ticket, my friends. That's where our hearts should be. St. Paul's sentiments, where the good things grow, fill your heart and your head with all of God's beauty. Set your GPS to that destination so you're not distracted by all the crazy detours that life throws us. That is the rule according to St. Paul. And here on Call Me Catholic, we like to expound on that by talking about such things as well. Hey, I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, 60 minutes of happy and uplifting Catholic talk that is intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times. So we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Folks, we are not in our usual operational headquarters at the Christ Cathedral campus, but we do have Jimmy G in the house of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. We are coming to you live from the convention floor of the LA Congress. And Jimmy G is our remote engineer and chief fact checker. I barely recognize you. You're not in your normal tank top and sitting across.
Please. Yes, I actually have the jacket today, so I'm trying to look a little more formal.
You know, this is a crazy environment. I got to tell you, friends, because I have never been in such a crowd as there is today. Last year they attracted 40,000 people, but this year it feels even bigger. When I drove up and I had a deadline, I had to be here by 10 o'clock. I was navigating my way through the convention hall, and I was met by this just gaggle of cheerleaders, these bespangled adolescents, very, very excited. And I thought, oh, my gosh, is this the new face of the Catholic Church? We're going cheerleaders.
It's one of these excuse me, pardon me crowds. When I just need to go to the restroom, I have a massive crowd to get through.
Yeah.
But you just try to be cheery about it, because all these folks are here, and it's fantastic to see them all.
It is. And, you know, a little history. I am a native of Los Angeles, so I know of what I speak. But this Congress actually started back in the 1920s.
Wow.
It was called the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. You might recall the acronym CCD. And it was actually, hello, Bishop Van. Yes, that's right. That's right, Bishop Van. He's affirming what I'm saying, and he's also helping himself to a piece of my Irish soda bread, which I'm glad you're doing that. He's all in green. Bishop Van, bless his heart, we love him. But anyway, so in the 20s, it started to address all the migrants coming up from Mexico during the Mexican Revolution, during the religious persecution at that time. And they thought, we have to catechize these young people.
Right.
So they started that program then, and then it grew, and we realized, wow, we have to catechize a lot of young people here in the Southland. And so as it grew, it attracted great speakers, and now there are hundreds and hundreds of workshops and speakers and exhibitors. I mean, we are in Catholic Central right now. It is the largest gathering of Roman Catholics in the country. So it's pretty exciting, though.
No question about it. There is just a mass amount of folks here, although I know there's a couple of special speaking engagements going on right now. So
right
some
now.
Folks are in the...
Yeah, we don't... We're competing against Bishop Barron.
Yes.
And Father Gregory Boyle from Homeboy Industries. So since we're doing our show from the Congress, and we're here in the midst of all these outstanding Catholic luminaries, we like to kind of tap into those riches and bring you a really special guest when we're here doing this. And this is our third year of doing this live from the convention floor. So toward that end, in just a minute, you are going to meet Kaiser Johnson, really interesting and fun young Catholic man who just published a book called Grit and Glory, Cross-Training Your Body and Soul, great guide to getting into spiritual and physical shape at the same time, two for one. And Kaiser also hosts a very original new web show called Catholic Central, and he's involved in lots of great Catholic movements in Hollywood. So much to talk about with Kaiser, and that's coming up in just a minute. But first up, it is our Call Me Catholic countdown of the week, which, you know, okay, it is St. Patrick's Day. I am wearing green. I am representing well. I am proud of my heritage. But, you know, there's a feast day coming up Monday. Jimmy's got a green pen in his
lapel. I have a green highlighter.
That is very...
I'm covered.
That is really... Hi, Tom Price, how are you? That is most inadequate, sir.
I do my best.
But anyway, I have to say that 2 days from now, there's another feast day, a more profound feast day, in fact. And he kind of, in his normal fashion, he gets overshadowed by St. Patrick. St. Joseph's feast day is Monday. And so I thought, you know, in our Call Me Catholic countdown, it'd be kind of cool to give a nod to St. Joseph, because he is my patron. I wear his medal, and he's taken good care of me and my boys. So I thought for our Call Me Catholic countdown, I'd list the five kind of interesting features about St. Joseph that maybe some of our Catholic listeners and non-Catholic listeners don't know right now. So here we go. It's the Call Me Catholic countdown of the week. Cue it, Alabama.
Good job, the Call Me Catholic countdown.
Well done, Rich Jesse. Thank you. You didn't even have any visual cues. Okay, so top five facts about St. Joseph's legacy. All right, number five is that March 19th is the day that we celebrate St. Joseph, traditionally. But in 1955, the Pope declared May 1st a feast day for St. Joseph the Worker, because it was kind of counterbalancing the communist parades going on at that time. So May 1st is St. Joseph the Worker, and March 19th, this coming one, the more prominent one, is St. Joseph the Husband. So all of he's our patron of family, so that's cool.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, just so you know, we've got, now St. Joseph deserves 2 days a year. Okay, number four would be the fact that you know that St. Joseph is the patron saint of the dying for a peaceful death. That's part of his the prayer to St. Joseph. But do you know why? I mean, can you come to that logical conclusion? It's obviously because there is no record of his death, and there's no record of him when Jesus approached his public ministry. So we have to assume that he was in the company of Mary and Jesus, young Jesus, when he died.
Right.
And can it get any better than that? You know, the rest of us are going to have to work much harder than that to be in that kind of company when we die. Okay, so number three, that even though St. Patrick's Day is a huge celebration, in Italy and Poland, St. Joseph's Day is still a really big deal. They celebrate March 19th they bring their flowers and statues, and they have parades. Still a very big patron in Italy and Poland. And interestingly, in Italy, what they do to honor St. Joseph is they use a lot of breadcrumbs in their food. Why? Can you guess on that one, Jimmy G?
No, I can't.
Okay, because breadcrumbs sort of simulate the carpenter's sawdust.
Oh, yeah? Interesting.
And another food associated with St. Joseph for good luck is the fava bean. And that's because back in the Middle Ages, when Sicily was in a serious drought, they were praying to St. Joseph to bring them rain. And the only crop that survived the drought was the fava bean, and the very hardy fava bean, and that is why they carry around fava beans in their pockets on St. Joseph's Day. Okay, number two, little fact and trivia about St. Joseph is that we all know that we associate St. Joseph with a very successful real estate transaction. So people bury St. Joseph upside down, even in their home, and hope that they will have a speedy buyer. But you know, we don't engage in superstition as Catholics, of course. So you should know a little history of why St. Joseph is buried and considered to bring good fortune. It's because St. Teresa of Avila, back in the 16th century, I guess, she used to distribute St. Joseph. Hey, Bishop Van is absconding with my Irish soda bread. Bishop Van, it is all yours. Bless it and distribute it among the crowd. St. Teresa of Avila would distribute St. Joseph medals to her Carmelite sisters and say, bury them in the ground, and that will consecrate this land to St. Joseph. So that's something to think about when you're burying the statue of St. Joseph in the ground. Okay. Now, the number one fact to consider when honoring and celebrating the great St. Joseph is that for a man who had no speaking part in Scripture, this guy has incredible presence in the modern world. I mean, look around this convention floor, and I couldn't even count how many businesses, associations, products are named after St. Joseph. In the United States, we have cities named after him. We have hospitals and schools.
Yep.
And even the St. Joseph aspirin is named after St. Joseph because, of course, St. Joseph aspirin is a baby aspirin, low-dose aspirin. And St. Joseph took such tender care of the baby Jesus that we knew that would be a really great way to, you know, convey trust in that product. Ah. So there you go. All right, and that's it. That's my my five Call Me Catholic countdowns for things to remember about St. Joseph when you honor him this Monday, and don't forget to honor him. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. Join our Call Me Catholic family with a like or a follow. We are coming to you live today from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. And when we come back, we are going to do some calisthenics with Kaiser Johnson, author of Grit and Glory, Cross-Training Your Body and Soul. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the 2018 Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio. Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin is live from the 2018 Religious Education Conference in Anaheim, California.
That's so funny to hear you, Jim. It's a different intro. I'm not used to that. I don't sit up and say, we're game on.
I had to cut a very special one for that.
Well, thank you for that. It sounds lovely.
And it's deserving.
And it deserves it. Yeah, we're here at the Los Angeles Education Congress. Top of the morning to you, friends and family. And thanks for tuning in to Call Me Catholic on this fine St. Patrick's Day. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and that background noise you hear is emanating from the convention floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, where we've set up shop here in the EWTN booth. It's always fun to bring you Los Angeles personalities, kind of Hollywood types, when we're in the midst of so many Catholic luminaries at the Los Angeles Congress. So today, it is a really my pleasure to introduce you to Kaiser Johnson. Actor, author, athlete, comic, producer, whose new book, Grit and Glory, Cross-Training Your Body and Soul, is just about to hit the bookstores. We're going to talk about this book and about his fitness philosophy. But I also want to hear more about Kaiser Johnson's really fun and original show, Catholic Central, and about his work with the Hollywood Chesterton Society. We've got ourselves a true Renaissance man here. Kaiser Johnson, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you don't mind that we invited a few thousand people to kind of mill around the studio while we're, we're talking.
That's totally ordinary for what I do.
Well, you're a performer, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. But you're also an author.
I guess I am now, yeah.
You know, when I heard about this book, I thought, wow, how can you fill a book with that much information about fitness that we haven't already heard? But it's really cool because you weave into it the saints' philosophies, quotes, and just spiritual mindset that really contributes to the regimen that you promote here.
Yeah, I mean, I think a friend asked me a while back, you know, how do your spirituality and your physical life, you know, inform each other and stuff? Because, you know, I competed on the Spartan TV show and the American Ninja Warrior and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How did you do on American Ninja Warrior?
On American Ninja Warrior, I didn't qualify for Vegas.
But you qualified
for the show and made it past a few things that took out other regular competitors on the show who've been
out. Yeah, I like that language.
Yeah, well, you know. and then on the Spartan TV show, we won our first race, and then you basically it was a bracket system, and so and we were a minute and a half coming into the last obstacle, a minute and a half ahead coming into the last obstacle, and there. But it was we fell
that's
apart.
Brutal competition.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah,
I mean it is. But that's
did it wear you down eventually, or did you hit an obstacle that you just couldn't hurdle?
You know, it was with the Spartan Challenge. It was we had two races very close to each other, so that was a challenge as it was. And the last obstacle, if you see it, you'll understand because it's this wall that you have to get your team up. It was like a 30-foot wall at a 40-degree angle, and you have to. There's nothing to hold on to, and you just have to stack each other up and then pull each other up and that kind of thing. And it took us longer to do that than it took the other team, so they made up their time on that. But we had probably the strongest, most strength of any team there amongst our players. But that also meant we were one of the heavier teams and stuff. So pulling everybody up was a challenge to do.
Well, you know, just as you talk about that, the spiritual metaphor for that is perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, holding each other up, hurdling the wall, getting over the obstacle. I mean, that is just a great analogy for what we have to do in our spiritual lives.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, something we talk about in the book there is basically that there are first of all, there are all these cognates between the spiritual life and the physical life, because the fact is, we're not really, I guess it's less of their cognates as they're the one thing that we should be living out, both body and soul. You know, so self-discipline and dying to self and being there and being accountable to other people and living in community and raising other people up.
Yeah. You talk about how camaraderie is really very essential.
Yeah, and it helps us in our prayer. It helps us in the moral life and our accountability and that kind of thing. It also helps us in getting to taking care of our bodies properly and stuff like that, eating right and training.
Oh,
and that
eating
kind of
right. You had to go bring up this
I had
I've got
to.
My Irish soda bread here
looks,
on the table.
It looks great. And, you know, and,
is gluten not in your diet?
It depends. Not a ton of it. It doesn't tend to be.
You're more
it's
of
not,
a paleo guy.
Well, it's more that kind of stuff. But it's not the problem with like gluten specifically. It's just a lot of grains are challenging for human beings to digest in their modern form.
Well, they've been morphing into something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So what came first, Kaiser? And by the way, I know do you go as Kai?
For Catholic Central, that's my character's name.
Oh, okay.
I'm Catholic Central,
but
I go by Kaiser.
Your mother wants me to call you Kaiser.
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
It must have. Clear, it must have been a good had a meaning behind it. And do you know what that is actually? Why
yeah.
is your name Kaiser?
Well, so it's actually my middle name, but it's from my family's my mom's side of the family.
Okay.
So yeah, Kaiser means you know.
It's good station.
That kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
So Kaiser, what came first, the spirituality or the physicality? You have great information on both of these components. Mm-hmm. So it seems like you're as developed in one as you are in the other. But did one come first?
You know. Not really. I mean, in some sense, I mean, I've been working out since I was, 15 and stuff, but I rediscovered my faith in college and came back to the church then.
I have to say, this mm-hmm. is so unusual because I was reading about that and I thought most young people drift away from
right.
the church when they get to college.
Yes,
you re-entered the church.
Yeah, and I mean, that was something where, I was having all these big life questions as I entered college of, gosh, what are these? What are the desires of my heart? What do I want to do with my life? And
yeah.
and who is God? And what is sex? And all this kind of stuff.
Oh.
And in the sense of like,
yeah.
what's the right way to live my life?
And that's beautiful.
I met some really great people through the Newman Center on campus. And
you're so fortunate that you had a good.
It
Newman
was
Center.
Yeah. I was really fortunate. Just absolute providence there. And found that everywhere that I had questions, the Catholic Church had really inspiring answers that made me feel more human and more fully alive and just a complete integrated spirituality. That
was that the University of Minnesota?
Yeah, University of Minnesota, Duluth.
So do they still have a good Newman Center?
They do.
Has that
yeah,
kind of a
so,
that's
yeah,
perpetuated? Because that sounds really important.
Yeah, when I was there,
impressive.
Leah Jacobson was the head of the Newman Center, and then a couple of years into it, Father Mike Schmitz became the chaplain.
Oh, this is Father Mike's
so, yeah.
ministry.
Yeah, so.
Oh, for crying out loud. Now
yeah.
I understand. Was he there when you were there?
So he came. My second year of college, he was there. But the first year is when Leah was the one who really inspired me to dive deeper into the faith and that kind of thing. And then, obviously Father Mike Schmitz is great. And so when he showed up the second year that I was there and that kind of thing, it was, really a beautiful and wonderful place to be for that.
So during all these years, you were still staying physically fit. So you've been
yeah.
a physical good condition since you were
well,
adolescent, really.
Not entirely. So there were a few years back, I fell off the wagon, so to speak, and just didn't find. I was in sort of a, and it's interesting. I was in a darker place in my life, and going through the
personally,
personally, and as my spiritual life suffered, so did my physical life, and
so there the correlation went boom.
Yeah, and then it was more then as I came back more, I came back into everything sort of at the same time. Of I started training for an obstacle race, and then also started getting back into set a goal, and that I think is a really important thing that translates into our life is to set a goal and to take action today. Not to wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow isn't something that ever comes,
Well, and I think especially for a guy, now you can correct me if you don't agree with this, but
sure.
I think guys have to work things out physically sometimes,
mm-hmm.
personal
yes.
problems, social issues, internal turmoil. I remember reading an article by this great Jesuit priest who said, in one of the philosophies that he had in teaching boys high school was,
yeah,
when you have problems, when you have struggles, boys, go play basketball.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and it helps them work it out more than, I mean, some women may find that too, but I think that's more of a guy thing.
Well, and there's definitely a really way to, it's really important for guys to get out of their head and into their body sometimes. And I think that that's equally important for women though too, because it gives us an opportunity to really just find what God is telling us at an unconscious level, and get past the way that we rationalize and over-rationalize sometimes and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, obviously our will and our intellect are integral to who we are and being made in the image and likeness of God, but sometimes it's nice to let the intellect sleep a little bit and move into the will. And that's
yeah.
And our will is primarily exercised through the service of our bodies.
So your regimen that you put forth is for is gender free.
Yes,
same thing. I don't know. I saw the words one arm plank in there, and I thought, no, I'm not on board with a one arm plank.
You can work up to that. You don't have to.
Guys, I will never be doing a one arm plank.
You can totally do
You
that.
Actually can. It's way easier than you think. I mean, okay, it's still very challenging, but it involves. It's a different positioning, so you know your feet aren't like together, and you spread your body further so that it's much easier to hold yourself there. It's still very challenging,
okay.
But
never doing it. Not going to even try.
You can.
I can do a two-arm plank.
Yeah, yeah, and you can.
But a one-arm.
You can
plank.
Do a one-arm plank too, and go down to your elbow. That's
oh, okay,
yeah, yeah.
Or my forearm.
Yeah, so you use your whole forearm on one side, and you know your legs, you know, your feet are widespread on. You know, in back. And
who's
stuff,
holding
so,
me up?
Some, well, you know, you
Jimmy
can start,
G's holding me
start,
up.
Start with a spotter and a partner, you know?
You
know,
there you go.
Hey,
you know,
like I said, prayer partners and workout partners. It's important to have.
I've actually thought, you know, we could hang a really nice industrial rope from the side of the Tower of Hope. And we can climb our way up to the 8th floor.
Yeah, do that. That's,
why not?
Yeah, it's
now
a big climb.
Now you're dealing with two issues that I'm scared of heights.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not, you know, upper body strength.
There would be that liability issue, too.
Yeah, there's,
you know,
there
if someone
is that.
Falls.
You know, it's interesting. Last week I was out of town. In fact, I was watching the Indian Wells Big Tennis Tournament out
oh,
there.
Oh, fun. Okay, yeah.
And so I didn't have access to my normal exercise routine things.
Yeah.
But the place where I stayed had a pool.
Yeah.
So I was swimming and swimming. I think of myself as being pretty, exercised.
Yes, yeah.
And I was swimming. So I was swimming for a couple of days. And all of a sudden, the third day, I thought, oh, why am I aching in my shoulders?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it's because I had never used those muscles.
Right.
So spirituality and physicality is similar in that sometimes we get into these, we do the same prayers,
right.
The same this, the
yes,
same
yeah.
that, and we don't mix it up.
Right, right. And I think that's why, you know, so in the workout plans at the end of the book, we have a prayer component and your physical workout and stuff every day. And take you through different both workout stuff that you may never have done before and also prayer styles and stuff that you may never have done before, of contemplation and meditation and, you know, mm-hmm. all these different kind of things that we have access to as Catholics, but most of us, and myself included in that, stick to, okay, I got a rosary, I'm going to do that, great, and,
right.
You know, I've got my consecration,
right.
You know, every February and March, great, got that. Got it on lockdown.
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, what about taking 5 minutes of silence and just listening for the voice of God and that kind of thing. So.
If you've ever gone into an adoration chapel, or I will say when I go into an adoration chapel, and I'll see someone else in prayer, and their prayer is so focused and so completely, utterly zoned in. They are free of distraction. And I think, oh, that's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at, you know, a friend of mine, I remember Danielle Rose. I used to, she was in Duluth for a while, too. And to see her in front of the Eucharist, it was like, is she even blinking? This is incredible.
I know.
She's just so laser focused on there's Jesus and I'm here and he's here
and she
we're
knows
here
who,
together.
Who
yes.
she's talking
yes,
to.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is a beautiful thing. And it's you know, very much like when you see an athlete who is so absolutely cannot be wavered from his routine. It's this beautiful discipline.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
So let's get into the 90-day challenge.
Let's do it.
So it's not an accident, I'm sure, the nine, which is the number of days in a novena.
Right. Yes, yeah.
So you break it down to like
so we've got a 9-day, a 21-day, and a 40-day challenge that lead up to the 90-day challenge.
Yeah.
And basically each one rolls into the next.
Okay.
So we start with the novena, And then from there, you know, there's an old adage that it takes 21 days to build a habit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. It's just sort of, you know.
I thought it was 21 when you could start drinking.
Well, that's true, too. So, and, you know, obviously habits take different times to build. But it's still a good benchmark for it. That's a good, you know, place to sort of tick off a line and go, okay, I've started building a habit now. If I can do something for 21 days, that's going to, you know, afford me some a baseline of discipline to move on. And then we have, you know, the 40 days, which, you know, gives you a time, whether it's a Lenten thing or just 40 days is a significant number throughout Catholic history, Christian history, Jewish history.
Right.
And so,
is this the desert?
Yeah.
So this is the tough part?
It's called 40 Days in the Desert. That's that workout series.
Mm-hmm.
It gets us into then, you know, 90 days of changing your whole life and your whole outset.
And so, what's the single hardest thing do you think most people face? Is it going to be different for everybody, or is there a point where you go, this is going to be hard for you?
I think the single hardest thing that we face in our life in general, and it applies to every aspect of it, is just doing what we set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just showing up every day and making a daily practice of everything. And so spiritually and physically, that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Consistency.
And this book, Grit and Glory, gives you some great guidelines for tackling that. I mean, you've got great advice. You've got great saints quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Francis.
Francis Dales. Is that a quote in there?
Yes. I think he had one of my favorite quotes in there, which one? It was about you will not reach perfection in this life.
Oh, yes,
but you try to achieve progress.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah. Lots of good quotes. Okay. We are going to be right back with author, actor, trainer, Renaissance man, Kaiser Johnson. It's kind of like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So stay with us, folks. All that noise you hear in the background, that's just about 40,000 Catholics mingling on the convention floor of the L.A. Religious Education Congress. Tens of thousands.
We'll try to count them during the break.
No.
Well, you might want to go down and count the cheerleaders, Kaiser. So stay with us. Lots of friends and familiar faces here wandering past our booth. And come on by, because we've got Irish soda bread.
Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin is live from the 2018 Religious Education Conference in Anaheim, California.
Hi, kids, and all you Irish lads and lassies. A very happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I am Peggy Normandin, and we're having a great time on the convention floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. Pretty impressive gathering of Roman Catholics in this country, the largest. Hello, sisters. We've got a couple of sisters dropping by the booth to say hi and listen to us. We also have here in the booth with us Kaiser Johnson. He is an elite runner. And I'm going to ask him about that term because I think that's kind of a sissy term for a triathlete. And he has channeled all his athletic prowess and knowledge, as well as his desire for spiritual growth, into his new book, Grit and Glory, Cross-Training Your Body and Soul. Now, that's not really fair because you didn't pick the term elite runner.
Well, I guess I don't think of myself as an elite runner. There are people who are much, much better runners than I am.
But that's a category of
runner. I'm an elite obstacle racer is what I like
to. Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, and there are people who are in the obstacle racing world who are elite runners outside of that. one of my, you know, favorite stories is there's a guy I follow in the obstacle racing world and stuff, and he talks about 14-minute 5Kers, and those are elite runners. And
14-minute 5K?
It's so fast. You know, you're running like
430
a mile.
That's like a road runner.
Yeah. But then, you know, he mentions that in obstacle racing, there are other skills you have to have, too. And so him and myself, I love it when, you know, you can put fast runners ahead of me, but have us run through mud or have us run through water or have us carry something really heavy, and I make up my time right there, and I'll pass the elite runners and stuff. So.
Well, and that's quite a thing. That's quite a thing to have. And you know, there's a saint, Saint Hyacinth,
yes,
who is a
of Poland.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's the. Well, you do know your saint.
Okay.
He's the patron saint of weightlifters.
Is that so? I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay. So Saint Hyacinth, he was from Poland, but he went to Kiev in the Ukraine to serve. And during that time, the Mongols were desecrating the city.
Sure.
So he went into the church to grab the tabernacle, the Blessed Sacrament, and protect it. So he's escaping the church, and he hears Mary speaking to him, and Mary says, "Don't leave me in the church. Don't leave me in the church. Come and get me." So he goes back into the church during this assault, grabs this enormous statue of Mary. He's got the Ciborium in one hand, the Blessed Mother in the other hand. And so that's why he's the patron saint of weightlifters.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so there, you use that in your next book.
Yeah, in that next one, it's right in there. Yeah.
Okay, there was one other aspect of your book, Grit and Glory, which just hit the bookstore.
It did, yeah. I mean, we just got copies on the 15th.
Yeah,
so,
and it's a great cover. You'll see... A different, I mean, that's, boy, you'll see your muscles there. That's awesome. Cross-training your body and soul with Kaiser Johnson. There's one kind of cool aspect of the book, which is the examine. You apply that to cross-training and fitness.
Yeah, because the saints remind us is when we're, and especially, you know, St. Ignatius in the spiritual exercises, he talks about you've got to know where you're at, basically, to I'm paraphrasing very broadly, but
where's your head is at,
to know where you're at. To start, so that, you know, you are examining and throughout the day how you're doing on your spiritual journey and stuff. And it's the same thing, you know, because people will look at, I think a lot of people can look at a book and go, I can't do that. There's no way I can do this. Or people, I mean, Catholic friends will say to me,
they're going to look at the cover of your book and say, I can't do that.
Great. Good. That gives you a place to figure out where you're starting and start from there.
I'm not starting with one-arm planks.
No, that's fine. You don't have to. And you can work to it. And that's the thing is in the spiritual life, you know, you hear about, like, St. John Vianney hearing confessions for, you know, 14 hours a day and stuff like that. And it's like most priests couldn't do that. You know, not knocking priests, but most priests couldn't do that. And most people,
supernatural powers.
Yeah, and again, like there are racers who I look at and go, oh, I could never do that. You know, like I was mentioning during the break to you, Jimmy, the tough mutter, world's toughest mutter, where and the winner of the last few years, Ryan Atkins, has done over 100 miles of in 24 hours of these courses of obstacles. He's done 100 miles of it the last few years in a row, and I go, oh my gosh, that kind of endurance puts the endurance that I have to shame, you know. And stuff.
Do you get those endorphins? Does it release? You get those endorphins rushed to your
skin? Sure. Yeah. I mean,
through the sweat and pain and gruel.
Well, I mean, the thing is working out, praying, mass, stuff like that. It's never easy unless we're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The Catechism says the constant battle of prayer is distraction. And that tells us that prayer is a battleground, and that it's hard work, and even just being present to prayer is challenging, and being present in Mass is challenging.
How do you stay so spiritually informed? I mean, to throw out a saint, and you say, "Oh yeah, I know Saint Pius."
Oh sure, I mean, I just love learning things, and that's something I talk about in the book too. I really try to approach the world as. What am I going to learn today? How am I going to grow today?
Really,
I want every single day to be something that is bringing me closer to God and closer to the whole person that I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you're a beautiful role model, and I hope that you are can take this book on the college circuit, really, because
oh,
I think
be
there's
nifty.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, it would be nifty, but it would be very...
That'd be nifty, hey, kid.
Rightio. Yeah, right. But I mean, I think it gives them a tangible... It's kind of cool. That's what I guess I'd say. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So before we leave this topic,
to go on
to another subject, I want to ask you about the Training Trinity. You have the Training Trinity in there.
Yeah, so the Training Trinity, I mean, basically, you look at exercise, nutrition, and rest. And there are three things that people can go, oh, you know, I've got my diet all set, but I don't get into the gym very often, or people, especially in college, to give an example of it, is, you know, there's this game that we play called What's Sleep? And What's Sleep? And actually, you know, in any sort of world of
that's a new mother's hymn too.
Yeah,
What's Sleep?
And you win by sleeping the least out of any of your friends, and and you also lose when you do that because. A lack of sleep and a lack of rest is something that is super detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
And so rest, nutrition, and exercise, none of them work really without the others.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, they're sort of, you know, a model of the Trinity in the sense that they are three things, but they're not separate components. They're of one thing together that... They're, you know, like God is one in three persons. These are the three persons of one fully integrated physical life.
Beautiful.
So.
You do. I've heard people use spiritual terminology analogized to military, but mm-hmm. I love the way mm-hmm. you do it with the fitness. And you know, today I think fitness is the new skinny.
So the
book is Grit and Glory, and it's by Kaiser Johnson, who's my guest today. But Kaiser has so many other talents that I want to get to before the hour is up.
Great, you flatter me. Thank you.
So, Kaiser, you and a colleague have started a new web show called Catholic Central.
Yes, I mean, I can't take credit for starting it, but okay. I do host it with Libby Slater, who's awesome. And then, she and I also have a sketch show that we're putting together, too. So,
really?
Yeah, so then we did start a different show. But Catholic Central is really cool. It's a it's a entertaining and informative free online series about all your burning questions about the Catholic Church answered in a way that doesn't rely on any of that sort of inside baseball terminology. That it's basically, if you have a question about the Catholic Church and you were going to ask a Catholic friend about it, how would they explain it to you in a way that is easy and accessible and makes sense and is fun in the meantime? So.
Well, especially for a generation that is very dependent on short spurts of information given to me in a very sensory, exciting way. You know, that kind of tickles all my senses.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, our episodes are like 5 to 7 minutes long.
Okay.
And
so give me an example of some of the subjects you've tackled so far.
Oh, gosh, there's a lot. You know, topics we've tackled are meaning and purpose in life, the Eucharist.
Wow, you do that in 7 minutes?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's true. And we start by, you know, talking about, like, right away, you know, we understand that, you know, this is specifically not just the generic meaning and purpose in life, which is to know, love, and serve God, but how do you find your purpose in life and how you live out the call to know, love, and serve God?
And that is really a burning question to a lot of young people. And when they can't get that question answered, they tend to despair.
It can be really easy to despair. And that makes it really difficult to make any decisions that then lead you towards your purpose in life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you should never never make a decision in a place of elation or despair.
That's
both
true.
Of those... Are, yeah. You don't have your full faculties about you.
Well, that's what I always tell my kids when they were growing up, or even friends when they have a bad day. I always say, God put 24 hours in a day for a good reason. Good days end and bad days end.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You get up in the morning and it's a new start.
Yeah. So we tackle that.
And how do you communicate it? Do you act out?
Yeah, good question.
Do you have
mems? We have, you know, we always tend to start at the desk and that kind of thing,
like a news desk
format. Yeah, but then we're always cutting away. I mean, there's, you know, there's graphics and there's animation, and then Libby and I think I've played more characters in the episodes of these shows than I've played in all the rest of my acting career put together.
And who are some of your favorite characters that
portrayed? I mean, I played, you know, Marlon Brando in The Godfather. I played Liam Neeson in you know, like Taken and stuff like that. And
so you use that to kind of communicate a point.
Yes,
or truth, or...
yeah. And I've played an old church lady, you know, and
you played the church lady.
Yes, yeah.
Church lady Kai.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cute.
And all different kinds. I've played Shakespeare, and even the character Kai that I play on the show is a little bit of a character, you know, a caricature of myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we did a whole episode once about the Mass that I don't think it hasn't come out yet, but it will come out. It's really cool where we're both sportscasters, and it's like it's Monday Night Football.
It's a play-by-play?
It's a play-by-play of Mass. And here's, you know, here's Father David Guffey coming down the aisle, and he's...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, is this on YouTube? Or?
Yes, it's that you can see it on YouTube. You can also go to CatholicCentral.com and see it all there as well. But, yeah, it's a free online series. You don't have to pay anything for it.
Okay.
You know what? And I did look at a couple of episodes, and I'm so glad you were able to kind of make it vivid for our listeners. But it reminds me very much of an arm of EWTN, which is called Church Pop. Are you familiar with Church Pop?
Yes, I mean, I know of it. I didn't realize that was an EWTN.
It's an EWTN arm, and it's churchpop.com. And every day you get a little bit of information about the Catholic Church, communicated in a very animated, colorful...
It's like Catholic BuzzFeed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This morning, in fact, they told the story about, in the background, but behind the nun, Sister Joan Marie Schmitz, who got a lot of fame during March Madness. Are you a March Madness fan?
You know, I don't follow basketball.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Well, that's not part of your routine, the regime. But anyway, you know, we're in March Madness, so all the college basketball teams are competing against
each other.
And Sister Schmidt is the chaplain for Loyola Xavier, Loyola in Chicago, in Chicago. Okay. And she's 98 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so they won. They beat Miami.
Uh-huh.
So glad they beat Miami. And they interviewed this 98-year-old. She is right there. She's like a little coach for them.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about going into the locker room and telling the boys, we're going to go for the big W. We're going to go for the big win. And so she got a lot of press. It's really, really cute. So this morning in my inbox, there's an email from Church Pop telling me about this nun. And then, you know, you go to the link and it shows you that. So you should check it out, too. It's churchpop.com. It's great for young people, but it's great for anybody. I really enjoy it. It's fun. It's light and
life.
It's kind of like Call Me
a great site. Yeah.
And it reminds me of your show.
Right, yeah.
So how are you getting the word out about Catholic Central?
Well, you know, we're doing some interviews here at Congress about that. We've got a whole booth at Congress, which is really fun. We've got
you have a whole booth for Catholic Central?
Oh, yeah. You should come check it out.
I will.
Yeah, so we've got a whole setup where we've got episodes playing on one side and promos and teasers playing on another.
Is Libby there, too?
Libby's there, too. We're doing
signing autographs?
Yeah. We're doing trivia. We've got giveaways and stuff like that. And we've got a great Instagram where we've got all these great memes and stuff on there. And the trivia is based off of that. So you follow us on Instagram, and then you get an advantage when it comes to the trivia there.
And this is part of
Family Theater Productions.
Yeah,
yes,
Family Theater Productions.
Yes.
Is this Father Payton's?
Yes, Father Payton's ministry. Yes. Yeah.
That's a great affiliation.
And he just became venerable.
He just became venerable. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to another subject that is near and dear to your heart, which is G.K. Chesterton.
Yes.
A lot of people are trying to get him on the beatification road.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
the
are.
Process is open.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are a member of, and I think you are a director of, the Hollywood Chesterton
Society. Yes, yeah, one of the founders of the Hollywood Chesterton
Society. Okay, tell me about that, Kaiser.
Yeah, so, I mean, I sort of fell in love with G.K. Chesterton, you know, reading some of his stuff at the end of college,
You just picked it up?
I had heard a little bit of his quotes and that kind of thing. I was like, ah, this is interesting, and my brothers got me a couple of books of his for Christmas one year, and I started reading them, and it's just like, I mean, he's just such an incredible author. And, you know, Dale Alquist, who I worked on his show on EWTN, The Apostle of Common Sense, for a couple of years there, seasons 5 through 7, I want to say.
Okay.
He says, like, you read Orthodoxy, and you want to underline all the material that you really like, and then you, after you're done reading Orthodoxy, you look back at it and you realize you've underlined the whole book.
I know. You know you're loving a book when that highlighter just never stops.
So, I've got my highlighter.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your green highlighter
Jim
ready.
Jim keeps trying to say he has green on because he's got a green highlighter.
Look at the green highlighter.
That's not working for me. So do you have a favorite quote from G.K. Chesterton?
Gosh.
Okay, I'll give you mine.
Tell me.
Okay, here's mine from G.K. Chesterton. Because every time I like a quote, I go, oh, it's
G.K. Chesterton. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the one I love. Fairy tales do not tell children the dragons exist. Children already know that dragons exist. Fairy tales tell children that dragons can be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
It is good. You know, interestingly enough, I think that's actually a misattributed quote. It's from Neil Gaiman.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and it's misattributed to G.K. I hate to be the one to tell you that.
Well,
but he's got something really similar.
And Jimmy G is usually my fact checker.
Let me get my highlighter. Let me mark that.
Mark that. Get your Irish highlighter
up. Well, you know what?
No, it is similar. I forget what he's... But Neil Gaiman is a big Chesterton
fan.
And so he's like...
Do you think he stole it from him, though?
It's very likely contained in some fashion in, like, you know, The Ethics of Elfland or something like that. I'd have to go back there. But
it's a great quote.
Yeah, The Ethics of Elfland is one of my favorite chapters from Orthodoxy.
Fourth
chapter, fifth chapter. Well, I think one of my favorite Chesterton quotes is... an inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered, and an adventure is an inconvenience rightly considered. And that's something to strive for. Last night I waited an hour and a half to get set at a table at a restaurant, and I was not treating it as an adventure, and I'm sad to say.
Wow. So, well, you know, it's interesting. I think G.K. Chesterton is a little bit like Winston Churchill, because a lot of if it's a good quote, people immediately think, oh, this is Winston Churchill's. Like the one about a young man who's an older person who's not conservative.
It goes, if you are... 20, 25, and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. And if you're 55 and you're not a conservative,
you don't have a
brain
head.
Or something.
This guy's good, Jimmy G. I think you need your own radio show, Kaiser.
You're going to keep me busy. I'm the chief fact checker. I have to check all these facts.
Yeah. But I think that is wrongly attributed to Winston Churchill.
I've heard it.
And Lincoln gets the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do in this society, in this Hollywood Chesterton society?
You know, we talk about his books.
Do you sit around and talk very intelligently?
Well, I mean, there is intelligent conversation to be had, and there's also always, as Hilaire Belloc would say, he says, wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedica mus domino.
That's right. So, I cut you off before you were finished. That's right. But, say it again. I love that.
So, wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedica mus domino.
That's beautiful.
And
that's
that's the thing with the Chesterton Society is, he and Hilaire Belloc and all those guys were, they enjoyed life to the fullest as well. And so we also, we'll smoke cigars and we'll, have wine and whiskey and so forth as well. And people bring their pipes too, it is an intellectual crowd.
Yes, get all British on us.
But we have a lot of fun. And, a lot of people, so we have a lot of times we'll be talking about a book or an essay or, because he was a super prolific essayist.
He wrote like 80 books and also lots of articles and essays.
That's really what he spent most of his time doing is he was at some points he was writing for three papers at a time. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote tens of thousands of essays, ones that they're still discovering and uncovering and that kind of thing. And then, something on the order of 100 books and several plays. And
hymns, too. I think he wrote
and hymns,
songs.
Yes. Yeah. There's a great one called A God of Earth and Altar, I believe that he wrote. Mm-hmm. I know he wrote it, but I think that's the title. And it's really, one of my favorite lines of his is in there. He says, one of the lines of the hymn is, God save and smite us all. And I think it's such a beautiful thing to go.
He uses the language so well.
Yeah, and also just his love of paradox is to go that it's, that people go, oh, how could a loving God, smite us and that kind of thing. And Chesterton goes, God smites us in his love so that he might save us, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
How beautiful,
Yeah. And so do you guys, was there a big crowd that wanted to join this Hollywood Chesterton Society?
Yeah,
Society?
We have, 250 members or something like that and somewhere between, we get widely varying attendance, so somewhere between, 10 and 40 or 50 will show up to, any meeting or that kind of thing. We get the bigger crowds for our parties, which, we do a Christmas party each year.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And Chester Bell Oktoberfest every year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Chester Bell. Right, because they were colleagues, really.
Yes,
they?
Yeah, yeah. Best friends
and
colleagues
that
influenced each other. They wrote about each other and that kind of thing. And so.
But I have to say that what I really enjoy, and this tells you how little my mind is compared to yours, mm-hmm. but I love the Father Brown series.
Oh, Father Brown's great.
Yeah.
He's best, and that's what one of the things that Chesterton is best known for nowadays.
Yeah.
Even people who don't even know who he is will have heard of Father Brown.
The NPR series.
Yeah, the PBS series. Yeah. And
he used those detective stories to kind of set up the good and evil too.
Yeah, yeah, and Father Brown is partially based on a priest that he knew, Father John O'Connor, who, and this is an interesting story too. So he was one of his big spiritual guides and stuff, and got him interested. Because Chesterton started writing about Father Brown long before he became Catholic. This is a good inspiration for people who want to be artists and stuff. Chesterton, after he left school, he didn't graduate art school, but he left and decided to start writing, and he went into a publisher and he said, "What's selling?" And they said, "Detective fiction."
Really?
And so so he started writing detective fiction, and he said, it's too easy to, basically, Sherlock Holmes, that's all there was Sherlock Holmes and knockoff of Sherlock Holmes, these super sleuths and stuff like that. So he invented the type of the underdog detective, the person that you don't think
the unlikely
is,
detective.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And that Father
kind of
Brown's
like
not,
Murder, She Wrote.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I mean,
so in some sense, she takes her inspiration from Father Brown, and Father Dowling is based directly on Father Brown, and Columbo is based off of Father
Brown.
Yeah, yeah. So they're inspired by by this type of the underdog detective. That
the Columbo. Just one more thing.
That was such a great
one
show.
One more thing.
Oh, love that show.
That was a great show. Yeah. I missed that show with his trench
Why
coat.
Why did you kill him?
Just got one more question,
one more question for you.
He usually had that cigar going, too, didn't
he? Yeah, just chewing on that cigar.
So maybe there was a little Chesterton influence in there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So are you guys actively participating in trying to kind of get him on the road to beatification? Do you think he deserves it, actually?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think if you – and it's beautiful. There was an episode of The Apostle of Common Sense that we did for EWTN called St. G.K. Chesterton? And it was interesting to hear quotes of some of his friends. You know, H.G. Wells, who was another one of his friends, but very close friends.
H.G. Wells was.
Yeah, but very divided, obviously, in their philosophy. Mm-hmm. And he wrote his book Everlasting Man, largely as a response to H.G. Wells's anthropology. H.G. Wells told Chesterton's widow at his funeral. He said to Francis, he said, if I go to heaven, it will be because of G.K. Chesterton. And W.R. Titterton, who was a critic, an essayist, and a friend of Chesterton's, said. It seems to me that a saint is always thinking about God, and as long as I knew him, GKC was always thinking about God. Mm. And
that is powerful stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I really love that. And I love the fact that he wrote essays that, this is where Catholics sometimes need to be smarter, that invited people that had completely different beliefs than him.
Yes, yes.
And they respected each other, and he respected them, and they respected him.
Right, right. And in the, you know, it, Dale Alquist always talks about, he says, you know, people might disagree with Chesterton, but they still loved him.
They loved him.
And they
enjoyed his writing, because his writing is very engaging. It pulls you in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even though he's imparting very, very lofty concepts, it's all approachable.
Yes, it takes a little while of reading him to get used to how he writes.
Well, it's like hearing an English accent.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what did you say? A lorry? What's that? But just because he writes in a very... It's, you know, you look at like Pope Benedict, who wrote in a very straightforward way, a very Germanic way of writing, of, you know, one thing right after the other. This leads to this, leads to this. Chesterton writes like he's playing with a ball of yarn, where he's pulling threads out for, you know, 11 chapters, and in the 12th chapter he pulls the last thread and everything comes back together. And you go, oh my gosh, that's what all this book was leading. Oh, this is incredible, you know.
Well, it's definitely 2-3 time readers. I mean, you know, you can read it the second time and get something you didn't get the first time, even though you underlined it all the whole way.
Dale Alquist says then the weirdest thing about Orthodoxy is then you go back a second time you read it, and you realize that someone else must have underlined everything in there because it's a totally different book than the last time you read it.
Yeah.
And the third time is the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're a fascinating guy, Kaiser.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
What's your future? Hold. I mean, we don't have a lot of time here, but what's your next big thing? I mean, you've got your finger in a lot of different pots.
Yeah, I mean, just always, you know, working on more acting stuff, more writing stuff.
Is there a role you're hoping to get there?
There are, but I can't really talk about. There's a project I'm on hold for and stuff like that, which I hope to get, which would be really cool.
God bless you. I really hope. Loved the new Paul the Apostle. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's coming out in Holy Week, but it is so good.
Okay,
and I
can
see you in one of those roles.
Well, I'd love to be in one of those roles.
Do you get typecast as a certain
profile? Yeah, I mean, well, the kind of characters that I tend to play are guys who know that they're the smartest person in the room.
That's the kind of character I play. That is typecasting them, because you are.
Well, there's a lot of people in this room. So.
You're the smartest guy behind this table. Don't you think, Jimmy?
Oh, no question about it.
I show off that like I am, but
no, you have very easy access, and you're very, very knowledgeable on a lot of things. You have a very authentic knowledge, and
you've
taught me a few things. You smacked me down a couple of times.
I'm so sorry for that. I mean,
the one-arm planks and the misquoting G.K. Chesterton. I've been disgraced.
I am a distant third of this table.
Jimmy, what's your favorite Chesterton quote?
The show's the most over.
We gotta go.
Look at the time. Hey, friends, we do have to go, and we have had so much fun inviting you into our room here at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, only the largest gathering of Catholics in the country. And for that occasion, we brought in the best guest we could possibly think of, Kaiser Johnson, author of Grit and Glory. Get it in the bookstores as soon as they come out.
Yeah, or you can go to osbcatholicbookstore.com, or even Amazon. It'll be there in a week.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Kaiser, again, and God bless
you.
Good luck. We want to hear more from you.
Thanks. Can't wait.
Bye-bye. Join us next week, guys. Same time, same place, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin. But you can call me Catholic.